Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, sponsored by WebSpy. It's October 7, 2010, and this is episode 262. In working on preparation for my first solo exhibition in December, I found myself doing a few things that I thought you might find useful, so I'm going to share these ideas with you today. And I'll tell you a little bit more about the expedition venue at the end of the episode in case you're going to be in Tokyo in December and you want to come along. It'd be great to shake the hand of any of you listeners that could visit. I'd quickly like to thank our sponsors, WebSpy, the Internet Monitoring, Analysis and Reporting Specialists. If you have a Twitter account, please go to blog.martinbaileyphotography.com and click on the text link underneath the WebSpy tile to the right. That will automatically tweet the message, thanks to @WebSpy for sponsoring the @MartinBaileyPhotography podcast, to show your support for the podcast. To find out more about WebSpy and their products, go to webspy.com/MBP and use the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on anything that you buy. As this is my first solo exhibition, preceded only by a joint exhibition in Italy years ago that I didn't even visit myself, we can pretty much say that this is my first attempt at this exhibition thing. I generally learn by throwing myself in at the deep end, and that's what I'm doing here too. So, as is often the case here, you know, rather than me knowing everything about this and preaching to you about how to do it, I'm going to just tell you what I've done so far, in the hope that you might take something away from my experiences. I'm sure people that have already done their own shows have better ideas, and I'd love to hear them if so, but here's what I've found so far anyway. Firstly, I needed to find a venue. This isn't a sponsored exhibition, so basically I have to rent a gallery and pay for my own printing and everything. I certainly considered applying for a show at some of the famous galleries, but many of them won't allow you to sell prints. The beauty of renting gallery space is that most of them don't mind you putting prices on your prints and trying to recuperate some of the exhibition costs. On that, right now I'm not thinking to put a price tag on each of the prints, as that will look pretty tacky. But I am going to create a panel explaining the pricing and offer a few various formats in which the potential client could buy a print or two, should they so desire. I searched online for a suitable gallery in a good location. Here in Tokyo, the Ginza area has lots of galleries, and accordingly it's pretty expensive, with most galleries between $250 and $350 per day. Now, you'll probably get more people visiting that are likely to buy prints in Ginza, so it's not a no-starter by any means. The reason I passed Ginza over was because most of the galleries there are very small. I wanted to display up to 40 or so images, either on 20 by 30 inch gallery wraps or 13 by 19 inch framed prints. To do this, you need some serious wall space. As I continued my search, I found a couple of galleries that looked promising, and I went to see the first one. I was disappointed by both the size. It looked relatively large on paper, but the size wasn't great and the location was really not that good. But the second one that I went to see was great. I settled on that. It's the HAC Gallery in Aoyama area of Tokyo, which is quite a trendy and arty area. And the display area, the wall space in this place was huge compared to everything else I'd looked at. HAC isn't cheap, mind. They do charge $300 a day. But, you know, when you think about the wall space, what happened was I'd noticed that they had a summer campaign charging $250 per day for July and August. And I took that information when I called to book and asked if they had a similar offer in December. And the answer was no, of course, but they gave me a free day. So I'm actually going to pay for 7 days, but the show will run for 8 days. I'd have preferred to do 2 weeks, but there wasn't a 2 week slot before the end of the year. And, you know, paying for the last few days if I did a full 2 weeks, the last few days run over into the new year, and here in Japan, that'd be pretty pointless as everyone spends the new year with families here. I also managed to get some time extensions for free on the first day and the last days of the show, because, you know, basically I need that time to give me time to set up on the first day, and also to pull things down on the last day. But also because these days are pretty much holidays in Japan, the owners will just be giving me the keys, so I've got a little bit more of a free run there. Now that I had a gallery booked, I had to ensure that I had enough paper and canvas to print out my photos, etc. And I have plenty of Honemule Museum etching, photo rag and fine art baryta paper, which I'll be using for the prints. And I ordered a batch of canvas and stretcher bars from Breathing Colour, because that was going to, you know, that was going to take some time to actually wing its way over here from the States. And as I changed the number of images that I wanted to do as gallery wraps, I have to actually do another small order. I need a few more stretcher bars, but I've got plenty of other stuff to be getting on with while I wait for that. Of course, another huge job when doing an exhibition is selecting your images. As I mentioned in a previous episode, I want this exhibition to be kind of a benchmark for my nature and wildlife photography as I end my part-time photography and move to a full-time photography career. Because of this, I base my selection on my Nature of Japan portfolio that you can see from my blog, but I cut it down to 38 images. This was based partly on my really taking a critical eye to my work as I considered showing physical prints to the general public, but also based on the amount of wall space I'll have, and the flow of the images on the wall as well. I spent a number of hours over a number of days deliberating my selection and running through it with my wife. I don't always heed her advice, but as the need to reduce kicks in, it's almost always the images that she doesn't like that I painstakingly remove. I'll embed a screenshot here of the selection in Lightroom that basically, you know, if you're listening to the Enhanced podcast, you'll see this now. You also can see the images on my blog if you go over there, and that's along with the transcript. But this is pretty much my final selection. It is my final selection. Because there are so many winter images, we considered making this a winter Hokkaido sort of exhibition, but I didn't want to do that because it seems too obvious of a road to take. I left my autumnal colour and a few flowerscape images in there because they're just so me. Once we'd got the selection down, I needed to figure out the position of the images on the various walls of the gallery. When I think of doing things to scale on a computer, I generally turn to Adobe Illustrator, and so that's what I did here. I created 6 artboards and resized them to 1/100th of the size of the actual walls in the gallery. Here's another illustration, another screenshot to illustrate, but basically you can see that I then exported a small version of each of the images from Lightroom and just dragged and dropped them into Illustrator and spread them all out all around the workspace. As I mentioned a while back, when I talked, a long time ago it was, when I talked about putting a portfolio together, I'm a big believer in starting with a strong image. So I started by dropping my mother and baby macaque, the snow monkey shot, on the start of the first wall. And then while resizing the images to roughly 1/100th of the actual size again, that's the size that they'll be when they're framed. I just use the images, but this is the actual size that they'll be with the frame. I proceeded to order and place them onto the walls. Here we can see the scaled and ordered images on the wall, but with this configuration of the room, I was going to have to do 3 gallery wraps with multiple images on them. I don't like to see multiple rows of images, you know, like one above the other. And I really wanted to avoid that if possible. So, I was having a little bit of sort of pressure with the space. And so I was considering putting 3 images on 1 gallery wrap and creating like a panel. Finally, I decided to use one of the partitions that is available at the gallery and increase the wall space and lose those multi-photo gallery wraps, as we can see in this screenshot. I wanted to use the room without the partitions if possible, but one at the end of the room won't be so bad, and it'll give people a little space to hide as well, which isn't always a bad thing either. Next, I numbered all of the images, and this will become like the key for our organization while creating, storing, and then finally hanging the prints in the gallery. The gallery comes with 45 wires, by the way, you know, to hang the prints from, so I don't have to worry about providing my own. I then started to check a few things out about the images. So I went to the print module in Lightroom and selected a 20 by 24 inch photo size and created a huge contact sheet. I initially was thinking that I'd just print it out and write directly on the paper as I checked stuff, but I ended up using it in Photoshop and writing on it with my Wacom tablet. The first thing I noticed as I set up the contact sheet in Lightroom was that I could specify to display EXIF and IPTC information on the contact sheet, as I wasn't sure that all of my images had titles. I included the title field and found that a few didn't have a title assigned, and I corrected that. I'll probably change some of the titles as well before the show, but at least they all have titles now. The original reason that I created this contact sheet, though, was so that I could start to check which of these images were cropped to a non-standard aspect ratio, which I need to know in preparing to buy the frames for the 28 images that won't be displayed as a gallery wrap. In the next screenshot, you can see the contact sheet without the titles, but after I'd output it as a JPEG from Lightroom, you can print to a JPEG. So that's what I did, and then I opened that in Photoshop so that I could scribble on it. First, I wrote GW for gallery wrap against the 10 images that I'll create gallery wraps from. I'll do 8 of the 10 wraps at 20 by 30 inch. Although you can create longer wraps, 20 inch is the widest that you can create with my 24 inch wide printer, because you have to deduct 4 inches for the width of the stretcher bars that you use to make the wraps. Digital SLR images are an aspect ratio of 1 by 1.5, so this means that the standard gallery wrap for a standard aspect ratio image will be 20 by 30. My recent order of goodies from Breathing Color contained enough 20 inch bars to do 24 wraps, so I'm good there. I also bought 2 boxes of 8 30 inch bars, which means that I can do my 8 20 by 30s with no problem. Since I placed my order with Breathing Color, though, I decided to do 2 more prints on gallery wraps, and as one of them is cropped slightly along the top, I'll need to order a box of 28 inch bars too, and my last gallery wrap is going to be 20 by 24, almost square. And I have some 24 inch bars already, so I'm good there too. This might be a good time to also mention that I recently bought a copy of Genuine Fractal 6 Professional Edition from On1 Software, and will be using that to do my resizing, etc., for the gallery wraps. As you can see here in this screenshot, you can basically just tell Genuine Fractals the size that you want to expand the image to, and do your sharpening right there in the plugin as well. There's also a great little feature that you can see in the bottom right of the screenshot. All you have to do to create the additional 2 inches, the flaps or whatever you want to call them around the edge, and that you're going to use to actually create the gallery wrap, all you have to do is specify the width that you want, and it just adds these for you. The amount of detail retained in the image, despite it being upsized by 320%, is also pretty incredible, so kudos to the On1 software team for creating such an amazing and easy to use yet powerful plugin. Anyway, back to the contact sheet. Basically, after marking my gallery wraps, the images that are going to be gallery wraps, I went on and wrote an S for standard above all of the images that are standard aspect ratios. To check if the images are a standard size, first I marked all of the ones that are 5,616 by 3,744 pixels in dimension. This is the native size of images from my 1DS Mark III and my 5D Mark II at 21 megapixels. There are also some 3,264 by 4,896 pixel images, which are the native size for the 1D Mark IV, so they're also easy to spot too. For the other sizes, I divided the larger number by the smaller with a calculator, and if the difference came out as 1.5, I knew that the image was a standard aspect ratio. Note too that some of these images have been cropped slightly, but whenever possible, I try to remember to hold down the shift key while cropping to maintain the aspect ratio. If the crop requires that I move away from the 1.1 by 1.5 ratio, then so be it. But when it's possible, I do try to maintain it. I did find a few images that were not standard crops, but could be recropped without ruining the image, so I made those changes too as I went through the images. The images that I marked with an asterisk next to the S are close enough to be framed as a standard crop, but they're a tiny bit off. The reason that I was marking these images like this was because I have to make a decision regarding the mats. I was thinking that it'll be cheaper and easier if I can frame the majority of my 28 non-gallery wrap prints with standard 13 by 19 inch frames. I've spent a lot of time in recent weeks trying to find a relatively inexpensive and yet quality looking frame. The craft shop that I visit a lot does very nice frames, but they're mainly for paintings and they have very few frames that are sized for digital prints. They do have a custom framing service, but the choices are either not very nice looking frames for around $50 each, or really nice ones for much more, and they need about 2 months to fulfill the order. I eventually found a nice stylish black frame that won't break the bank from a company called Hakuba. There were two problems in that the ready-made frames on their site had black mats in, which, you know, I don't really like, I prefer white. Also, the window in the mat isn't exactly 1 by 1.5. It's not quite the same ratio. They were slightly longer, meaning that I would have had to have trimmed the top and the bottom of my prints, which I don't really want to do. So I got on the phone and asked if it was possible to do these frames firstly with white mats and then secondly with a custom window in all of them. Because some of my prints require this custom window size, I had to do this anyway, so I figured I'd just go for getting them all custom made. They got back to me quickly and said that it was possible, but they wanted me to order them via one of the large camera stores in town. I asked why, and they said that it was because I was not a company. So I told them that I'd call back in 2 weeks when I will have the, you know, my company, Martin Bailey Photography, incorporated. This is exactly the sort of problem that I mentioned a few weeks ago. It makes working with manufacturers in Japan so much easier when you have a company name to throw at them. The trust level is just totally different. The other benefit of ordering these frames with custom mats is, or custom mat window sizes, is that they can, I can print more efficiently. Basically, to print all 28 of my fine art prints out on single sheets of A3 would be a pain. Plus, my large format printer doesn't like borderless printing on 13 by 19 inch sheet paper, and I'd need to have borderless printing for the image to fit in the standard mat window that the frame has. I started to think about my roll paper though, and I have rolls of 17 inch and 24 inch Hanamuli papers, and to print the most the most efficiently, I can print two images back to back on 24-inch paper stock, and they will each be 302 millimeters high. This is just over an inch or so shorter than the 13 inches of a 13 by 19 inch image, but with a nice wide mat, you know, a slightly wider mat in the 13 by 19 inch frames that they're making, they will still look great, and it'll give me 5 millimeters around each side to attach to the back of the mat board. There is one other major detail that I'm planning for this exhibition, but as I mentioned before, I'm going to keep that under wraps until the event. I think it's going to be a hit, and I don't want to spoil the fun. So now I have most of the planning done, and I simply need to move forward with the execution in the coming 2 months or so. I'm looking forward to moving on to the next phase and actually proofing and printing the images. I'm also looking forward to trying out the Breathing Colour live canvas and timeless laminate, and will be reporting my findings on that at a later date. I, of course, needed to produce a poster and postcard for the exhibition, and it was partly because I was trying to complete this that made this episode of this week a few days late. I spent almost 2 full days working on a design and could not come up with something that I really liked. I ended up sending my design to MBP listener Marcus Bain for advice, but I'd been reluctant to do so because Marcus's own exhibition opens tomorrow and I really didn't want to burden him at this busy time. Anyway, after I'd been messing around with my design for 2 days, Marcus sent something, I sent him the design after the 2 days, and Marcus sent something totally cool and amazing after just 2 hours. So I recreated that in Photoshop using the fonts that I have available to me, but I'm really pleased with the results. So thanks so much to Marcus for that, your help with that. I'll buy him a drink on Saturday at your exhibition's opening reception. I've posted details of the exhibition on the exhibitions page, which is currently under pages in my navigation menu on my blog. I'll put a link in the show notes too, but generally the exhibition is going to be from December the 23rd to the 30th at the HAC Gallery in Minami Aoyama in Tokyo. If you are in town and have time, I'd love to see you there. And don't forget that the opening reception is on Thursday the 23rd. That's a national holiday for the Emperor's birthday. So Thursday the 23rd from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. I'll get some drinks in, but if you come along, it might be an idea to bring a bottle of your favourite tipple too. Anything except red wine is fine. That's banned apparently because it stains the carpet. So really, if you're in town and you have the time, it would be great to see you between the 23rd and the 30th of December. Before we finish, I'd just like to quickly thank you for listening today. And thanks again to WebSpy, the sponsor of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Remember that you can find me on Flickr and Facebook, as well as Twitter, and of course my blog and the Photography Forum. All links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.
This is Dave Warner, and I'm the host of the LensFlare35.com podcast. Each week I bring you interviews with some of the top photographers using digital SLR cameras. They share some of their coolest tips and tricks, techniques and news about what they're up to, so please take a moment to visit the website or subscribe to LensFlare35 on iTunes.
The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.